Okay. So this is going to be our last, our last and final shear on this first topic, whether we finish it or not. We're going to move on to the second topic of tonight, so we'll try to cover what we can. Okay, so the last two shiurim were dedicated to the first half of the sigya, which is focused on the choice of the Beis Din. So the second half of the sigya, really the maskana of the Gemara, is that the Mishnah is not focused on the choice of Beis Din, right, in which town, etc., but rather focused on the specific dayanim being chosen to adjudicate the din at hand. So just a quick read of the maskana of the Gemara. Quick, just starting, even skipping the questions at the moment, just Ella Hachikamar.
Ella Hachikamar. One of them, each one chooses one Dayan, and together they choose a third Dayan. So what's the purpose of doing this? What are you gaining? They said in Eretz Yisrael, Zera's name, we told Zer Boro Lo Dayan Echad, Zer Boro Lo Dayan Echad, Uchnei and Boro in Lahen Ode Echad. Since you have this scenario where one chooses one, one chooses another, and together they choose a third, Yotah Hadin Ba'amito. The judgment comes out better.
Okay, very good. I guess I think you read last time also. You kept it vague again. Okay, I appreciate that. Okay, so right, as you know, Yehuda's already, you know, hinting to us all that the main, you know, issue at stake at this stage of the Gemara is what exactly is this phrase Yetzei Hadin La'amito, that the literally meaning literally translates as the, you know, the din will come out, you know, more truthful. So the big machokes on the daf amongst the different Rishonim, Tudeus and Tosos, is what exactly is really the gedder of amito in this context. So I would say the simple interpretation of amito is emes, truth. So the first approach in the sugya is that this process, you know, facilitates an objectively more truthful, you know, result, a more truthful, objective, you know, more objectively truthful bottom line psak din. So this is found already in the second day in Tosos. So I'm going to read for us. Avi, how can you read for us? No,
not really.
Yeah. This is where you get on the. All right, so the second day. Second day in Tosos, right? You just skip to Lufim Riata. Tosos Dira Maslo Kedeh.
Mash Makach Apir Shvitoch Shabir Zeshalo Vizeshalo. Hashlishi Yatsa Hadin Lamito.
Right, Ushneim the end. Ushneim Hashlishi. Right, so each one picks one, and then they both together pick the third.
Right, Ushneim Hashlishi. Right, yeah, put that in there. Yatsa Hadin Lamito below Ivas without any corruption. Then Chieha Inyan Shako below Yirbu Mehapchen Lachova, and there won't be too many that being Mehap for. They're going to be siding for
one
to Abagay below Mehapchen Lachos below Hapchos. Exactly. Not the opposite of what we just said over there.
Exactly. Basically, it'll be an even-handed, you know, based on, you know, the construct of the dayanim will dictate there are equal people favoring each side. We'll get exactly to what exactly the gedder mahatev for each side is in just a moment. But it seems, especially when read in contrast to the first daya, it seems very clear that the focus of this daya in Tosos is that, you know, coming out to an objectively better Sakdin, which is more, you know, more aliba de emes in the objective literal sense. So the, similar to the second day in Tosos is the Yad Ramah. I'm sure you guys all saw, which I have the Lashon right here, who similarly has this idea that we've been set up, right, we have this process of choosing the Dayanim in such a way that you have the right even-handed Beis Din, so you have one Dayan on one side, one Dayan on the other side, and then a guy in the middle, which will create, you know, a symmetrical and a very even-handed Diyun. So just to read the Yad Ramah's Lashon inside, it says, Kadeshi ye ze mahapech bischuso shel baldin ze shebiro. So basically, the first Dayan who is chosen by one guy will be mahapech, we'll get to that in a second, mahapech, you know, the deliberations on the side of the person who appointed him. The hala mahapech bischuso shel sheni shebiro. And the other, second Dayan, will be mahapech. I'm not going to translate that at the moment. Bahapich, the deliberations on the side of the Baal Din who chose him. Then Vashlishi Shinitzratzu Boshneim, right, the third Dayan who was picked by both. Ein Daito Nota Le'echad, he doesn't have any bias in either direction. Le'echad Mayhem, Yeser Mechaver, again, he is equal on both sides. Ela Machria as Divrayim Le'emes, he's going to be able to be Machria, both of their words Le'emes, again, focusing literally for truth. The Hadin Nigmar Bishneim, the Nimsa Hadin Yotze La'amito. Again, the Yad Ramah is basically saying that this this construct of the Beis Din will end up having, you know, an emistic, a more truthful, objectively more truthful outcome. Oh, so again, according to this first, you know, approach in the Rishonim, it seems very simple. This business process dictates we'll have a more truthful, you know, outcome. And the only issue within these, within this first approach, is what exactly is the gedder of Mahapit? Again, you know, Avi and Shmuel already asked, like, what's going on here? They're gonna, you know, bring up. I mean, some of these Dayanim are going to untruthfully, you know, make arguments on the side of one. Like, does that make any sense? So that's exactly the issue being discussed by the Rishonim. What exactly, in the later Rishonim, what exactly was intended by, let's say, the second day in Tosos and the Yad Ramah when they say that, no, they each Dayan is being mahapech for the schus of the Baal Din who appointed them. So the first approach, the first option, right, is that, and this is the way the Tur understands the Yad Ramah, is that the Torah understands what the Yad Ramah is saying, is that each Dayan is going to make basically untruthful claims on the side of the person who appointed him. Basically, right, sounds hard to believe, but basically the way the Torah understands the Ramah is that what Mahapech means is that the person, the Dayan appointed by one Baal Din, will untruthfully argue on the side of, you know, that Baal Din. Sounds like a lawyer, and, you know, and nowadays where, you know, you hire your lawyer, it doesn't matter what the lawyer thinks, they're trained not to think in terms of right and wrong, they just, you know, fight for whoever pays their dues, right? So that's the way the Torah understands the Ramah, and it basically points out that the Rush, you know, rejects this perspective very strongly and says it's basically impossible that Dayanim would basically do this. This would be an Isser of being Matah Mishpat, basically they're, you know, corrupting the whole process if they're really, in fact, during the deliberations amongst the different Dayanim, are really going to argue untruthfully on the side of the Dayan who happened to have chosen them. So again, this is the way the Tur understands the Yad Ramah, and it's, you know, he then points out that the Rush rejects the Shita very strongly. So then the question you have to really just ask is, in light of, you know, it's very hard to accept such a perspective, and again, we're going to see no one, I couldn't find anybody who for sure says this. You only find, let's say, the Tur understanding the Yad Ramah is saying this and therefore rejecting it. No one actually offers this interpretation and says, yeah, this is the way it should be, at least no one of stature, as we'll see in a moment. So the question is, why did the Tur, you know, interpret the Yad Ramah in this way instead of simply saying, like we'll see the second option, is that, you know, they're just, it doesn't mean that the Dayan is going to argue untruthfully, as we're going to see in a second. The other option is that they're just exploring all possibilities. And we'll get to that moment, we'll get to that option in just a moment. But the question is, why is the Tur, you know, inclined to interpret the Yad Ramah in this very radical way? So the Prisha has an interesting diuk. And the Prisha explains the reason for the Tur's interpretation of the Yad Ramah is all coming from the Yad Ramah, and really Antosis' word choice of mahapech, which literally means to flip. So the way the Lashon of the Prisha is that this Lashon of Bahatech, to flip, like in the Lashon of like opposite, he said that implies Dvarim Hafuchim Mehanira Mehainyan. Basically untruths, right? Things which are really the opposite of the truth. And therefore, the Prisha is saying the reason why the Yad Ramah could give off this impression of saying that the Dayanim are really arguing untruthfully is because of his Lashon of Mahapech, that sounds like that Dayan is really twisting the truth and arguing the opposite of that which he really sees to be truthful. Yeah?
And so they use that expression a lot by the Hitzilu Ida, no?
Hitzilu Ha'ida?
Mahapech is Huso.
Uh-huh. So
there's a sense there of like it's beyond brewing also there. It's sort of like...
But is that untruthful or that's just to try really hard?
I'm saying, I think a lot of people say that it's beyond the truth. And in terms of, we are sure that he's guilty, but it's almost like an excuse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, so I think probably be in between these two options. You have to figure out exactly, you have to look into the sugi there, what exactly the getter is. But it's hard to claim that it'll be this far, but we have to check that out. So just the other options we hinted to before, is which I think is the simple interpretation of the Yad Ramah and Tosos, that they don't really mean to say that, you know, the Dayan argues untruthfully and really is trying to, you know, argues against his conscience and just does whatever, meaning he just argues for, meaning for the person who appointed him. But it's rather an idea, Mahapech here, you know, the Prisha's diuk notwithstanding, is rather an idea that basically, meaning each Dayan is appointed by a specific Baal Din, well, is going to basically, you know, try hard to explore all the potential options on that person's side. Basically, you know, in the spirit of not leaving any stone unturned, I actually had that phrase in my notes. I actually heard Tager, I think, use that exact line. Yeah. I was very excited about that. As it helped, right? Idea of them not leaving any stone unturned. Really, it's an idea really of exploring the different options. But again, not arguing untruthfully. The idea is that, meaning each dayan who is picked by each side is going to just make, basically, explore all the potential options. Again, just put it on the table, and then they're going to, you know, honestly deliberate about what the case really is. But again, the Mahapik is not arguing untruthfully, but it's just in the spirit of just really exploring all potential options. And in fact, that's the way the Beis Yosef interprets the Yad Ramah. It says, really, you know, the Torah really got it wrong. Really, the Yad Ramah, what he meant all, meaning the entire time, was exactly this idea of just exploring all options. Fine. That's all within that first general approach that, you know, Nitzei Hadin La'amito is all about, you know, attaining an objectively, you know, more truthful.
You think the Torah would interpret the second Lashon of Tosos just like the Yad Ramah?
I think so. I mean, they both have the Lashon of Mahafkin. So if it's for sure according to the... So you said the Beis Yosef you were asking? Or Torah, yeah. So again, if the Prisha is right, then it's coming from the Lashon of Mahapich.
Right.
So the Tosos has the same Lashon. So I would assume the same. They don't discuss Tosos.
Right, but
they see more Yad... They just talk about Yad Ramah and Rashi. But I think it's the...
This
I think
seems
it's
like
the same
Tosos is saying Yad Ramah and Rashi. First shot sounds like Rashi.
Exactly. So it could be, yeah, 100%. Yeah, so I think Tosos would be grouped with the Yad Ramah, and again, both for the Torah's explanation, I think, and also Beis Yosef's explanation, I think both would apply.
So the way the Torah first he chooses the Yad Ramah, and then he says
it's wrong,
and then he brings a Rashi to explain the Yad Ramah,
it sounds like he says, oh, the Yad Ramah is wrong, it's rather the Rush. And the Beis Yosef says, you know, the Yad Ramah is really like the Rush. It's really that idea of just exploring all options. The Yad Ramah never really meant to say you argue, you know, untruths. Fine. The second perspective in the sugya, and we're going to take it. Second one, which is, you know, more of a chudash, and there's some important yisodos that are going to come out of it, is that Yitzei Hadin La'amito is not referring to, like, you know, attaining in a better psak objectively, in an objective truth, you know, in the realm of objective truth, but rather in terms of Yitzei Hadin La'amito in the eyes of the Baal Din. Right, and the fact that, you know, the Baal Din will come away thinking that, like, oh yeah, this Psak Din must be truthful. So who says this idea? Rashi, and the first day in Tosos. So if you look at Rashi, read this Rashi very importantly. We're going to have to get back to some specifics of this. I don't think we have you read yet. You know, Rashi? Yitzei Hadin and Islamito?
Yitzei Baal Dinim.
Oh, that's the key line already.
Meaning,
they will... Oh,
accepted.
Exactly. Meaning when he basically defining, you know, Yitzei, meaning when he says Yitzei did MS La'amito, and a little different here, so, but same idea, MS La'amito, that's in the eyes of the Baal Din, that the Baal Din will happily listen to the psalm. Why?
I mean, could it mean Yitzei did La'amito, meaning practically it'll go La'amito because they're going to listen? Because if they don't listen, then practically the Din won't be La'amito because he's going to steal his thing anyways.
Okay, well, we're going to get to in a moment. That's going to be another. I wasn't thinking of that. I'm going to ask in a moment what exactly is the Lashon of MS in according to the chat.
So he didn't say Din Lamito Bene. He said, like, Lamito is Bitsaisi Bane.
Okay. It's on a Dion level, meaning it's a stretch in terms of, you know, the Din generally refers to the Psak Din.
Right.
Yeah, so it's meaning it would be a stretch to say, you know, the Din referring to, you know, the outcome in terms of how it's implemented. So that's the only, you know.
We also don't normally assume that people won't listen.
Exactly. So that's the other. It sounds like the Tzaisi Bali Din, especially based on the Hemshech of Rashi, it sounds like he's going to accept it. Not in terms of whether he's going to implement it, but rather be happy and, like, you know, agree with it. So we have to get to what exactly the significance of that is in just a moment.
Tosfos uses the Lashon of Yifra Miratza.
Exactly. But again, it sounds like the opposite. I don't know, question. I always thought it was like he's going to be Yifra either way, but it won't be Miratza. You're interpreting that he's not going to pay at all. So I thought, like, for sure he's paying. Question, is he Yifra Miratza or Yifra, like, bonus? Like, you know, like, oh, I don't agree, but okay, take my money.
Right, even
Rashi,
I agree.
Yeah, oh, you say for Rashi. Okay, so for sure, Tosos, I think, is the way we're interpreting it. I think even Rashi, based on the Hemshech, it sounds like just him, like, coming to grips with it, but
okay.
It's definitely possible.
Fine.
Yeah. Can I just explain?
Yeah.
I mean, basically, from the perception of the Baal Din, he realized, since I appointed him, assuming that my appointee will be Mahapich Bishusi, so therefore, no, if even so, it didn't come out in my favor, I must do.
Yeah, yeah.
And now he's, I mean, it's very important, we'll see in the Bach in a moment, now Rashi, you know, transitions from the perspective of the Baal Din to now the perspective of Dayan.
Dayanim Atzman, Dayanim themselves, Noched Daitan Lahapich B'Schus Shneim. It's agreeable to both of them to whatever Mahapich B'Schus so is for both of them. Ibnesh Shneim Be'erun, because they were both chosen by both of them.
Oh, exactly. So the same discussion, we'll do this very quickly. The same issue, before we get to that, just and then just read the first day of Tosos, the Rivan.
Okay.
Right, so it sounds like, again, here for sure he's playing up on, you know, the Kushta, which means MS. It sounds like here, again, it was clear from Yitro Baratzon, but again, the way he's interpreting it, the reason why he's going to be Yitro Baratzon is because he sees it subjectively as truthful as well. Exactly. Oh. So again, right, just as David just pointed out, is that the same question we had before in terms of what's the gedder of Mahapech Bischus, right, in terms of the first approach of the objective MS, you still have the same dispute within, you know, the second approach of Rashi and the Rivan, the first day, and Tosos, right, assuming that it's about, you know, being in the eyes of the Baal Din. Again, so what exactly is the gedder of Mahapech Bischus? So it's a very similar breakdown as I had before. We can do it a little more quickly, but again, there's just one added nekuda in the Rishonim, within specifically Shitas Rashi. So again, like we had before, the first option of Mahapech Bischus is that it's making a taina shelo kedin. Again, that the Baal Din, that the Dayan is going to basically make, you know, argue on behalf of the Baal Din who appointed him, even untruthfully, even, you know, shelo kedin. But thing within Rashi, now there are two different options and how to say this. Like, what do we mean when we say that the, within this, you know, this first option, that the Dayanim are going to argue shelo kedin? So one interpretation, I'll call it 1A, is that this is the way that Dayanim should actually act, right? And this is the Shita quoted in the Rush in the name of the Chaserei Das. What he feels about these people, but again, it's a Shita nonetheless. At least at the time of the Rush, there were Chaserei Das who held that, and they pointed to Rashi and says, "Look, what Zavla is about. This whole process of Zebra Lo Echad is basically lawyers. Each guy gets a lawyer who argues on their behalf. Again, I pay your dues. You argue for me no matter what. And then you have the third Dayan, who's really, you know, basically functioning as the only Dayan in essence, because the other two are really in essence lawyers. So basically, according to this, you know, first interpretation, if you want to call it, of Rashi, is that 1A is that, you know, this idea of making Taniyot Shelo Kedin is actually the way the Dayanim should act. So that's the opinion, the Deya of the Chaserei Das side in the Rush. As you can imagine, the Rush rejects this very strongly and argues, says in the option 1B, to say that while it's true that when Rashi says Mahapech, you know, Bischusi, that means that Tanya Shelo Kedin, it doesn't mean that the Dayanim should actually be doing that. It's rather that that's the perception of the Baal Din. That the perception of the Baal Din, the reason why they're going to be happy and content coming away from the court case, even if they lose, is because they thought in their minds that the Dayanim, that their particular Dayan was going to argue even Shelo Kedin on their behalf. So again, so whether within this option one, that Mahapech Bischus, again, is a the Taina Shelo Kedin, an untruthful claim, again, either it's, you know, they're actually supposed to do that, that's the rejected Deya in the Rush, or that, no, it's just in the perception, just a second, it's just that that's the perception of the Baal Din, but not that the Dayanim are actually supposed to do that. So again, like just like we asked before, in terms of, again, it seems, meaning, why are, because both these days, why are they interpreting the Mahapech in Rashi as referring to an untruthful claim instead of just the easy second option like we had before? That it's just exploring the options, you know, not leaving any stone unturned. Why? What's pushing these, you know, Mefarshim to understand Rashi, whether that this, you know, prescriptive, this is the way it should be, or at least in the perception of the Baal Din, what is forcing them to interpret Rashi in this manner as an untruthful, argument? So again, the first answer is they have the same Prisha. Like all the Prisha was being Medayik, the Lashon HaMahapich, in the Adramah, again, Rashi uses the same lashon, so it could be the same type of Eiv. That could, again, the first explanation is the reason why they're learning Rashi in this way, because again, possibly they're coming from the lashon of Mahapik instead of a lashon of like Ledakdik. That's one possibility, just carrying over the Prisha's explanation of the Adramah into Rashi, because Rashi uses the same lashon. But the other suggestion is offered by the Bach. Again, the Bach is on this tour, which is on Siman Yud Gimel, where the Bach, Dimar Maskel Yireh, he points out, if you look very closely to Rashi, and this is why I was breaking down Rashi like I said before, according to, basically the way Rashi sets it up, basically there are two parts to Rashi. First, he discusses, you know, the perception of the Baal HaDin. Right, that's when he says, right, the Savar, referring to the Baal HaDin, the Savar Achaya, that Hare Ami Ba'atzmi Birarti Ha'echad, the Haya Yachol Ha'apik, Peschusi Hayim Ha'apik. So that's all in terms of the perception of what's going through the mind of the Baal HaDin who lost the case. But then he transitions in the second half to what the Dayanim are actually doing. And then he explains, by Dayanim Ba'atzman, Nocha Daita Ha'apik Peschusneyan, Mipnesha Shneyan, Beirun. Again, then he transitions to the objectively what's going on with the Dayan. So according to the way the Bach understands this Rashi, he says the fact that he had these two parts of Rashi, he assumes they must be talking about two different things. Again, which is an assumption, I'm not sure where he gets that from. But he says, so the fact that the Dayan, right, when we're talking about what the Dayanim are objectively doing, he agrees that no one's going to think that the Dayan should actually make Taniyos Shelo Kedin. So obviously the second half of Rashi is talking about, you know, just exploring the options. So he says, now go back to the first half. The first half must be talking about a different type of taina. So it must be that the Baal HaDin have a different conception, that they think that, right, although objectively the Dayanim are just exploring the different options, the Baal HaDin have a different type of perception. They perceive that the Dayanim are actually arguing even untruthfully on their behalf. So that's the basis of the Bach's take, specifically of, you know, of Rashi, reading a careful reading of Rashi, of, you know, why it's clear from Rashi, according to the Bach, that we're at least in the perception of the Baal HaDin, that the Baal HaDin perceive that Dayanim is making untruthful claims. But again, notwithstanding, you know, that read of the Bach, it's very possible to alternatively interpret Rashi and Tosos as saying, like we said before, which is the Pashas in the Ad Ramah, according to the Beis Yosef, that all Rashi and the Rivan mean is that the reason why the Baal HaDin are going to be, you know, content with the Psak Din is because they realize that the Dayan that they chose will explore all the options. Again, even in the realm of their perception, it could be that they're not going to think that they're going to make untruthful claims. Again, everything's about, you know, exploring all the options and not leaving any stone unturned. And again, the Bach's idea of there being two different halves of Rashi, again, I don't think it's so mukhruch. Again, he could just be talking about the same thing, the same idea of exploring all the options, both from the perspective of the Baal HaDin and the perspective of the Dayanim, because, again, perspective of the Dayanim, because that's objectively what's going on, and the perspective of the Baal HaDin, because according to Rashi, the whole focus of Yetzei HaDin La'amito is all about the perception of the Baal HaDin and them being content with the bottom line. So that's within Rashi and the Rivan, within the second approach, this idea that it's all about MS in the eyes of the Baal HaDin, which is explaining what exactly was the gedder of Mahapik Vishus. So now I'd like to spend a couple of minutes on the major question, which is, what exactly is the value of the Baal HaDin viewing the Psak as being truthful? We understand, according to the first approach, that, you know, you want to set up a process which gets you the most truthful, the most accurate bottom line Psak. That we all understand. That's the whole process of Beis Din, is to achieve the most, you know, accurate Psak Din. The question is, according to the second Psak, that it's all Yitzhak Din Lamito, it's all about, you know, the Baal HaDin leaving the court, you know, the Dion, happy. The question is, why do we care about them being content and them being happy? The Yifra Baratzen. At the end of the day, as long as, you know, the Aliba de Emes, he is supposed to pay, who cares if it's Baratzen or not? So that's the question that we have to explore. I'd like to suggest two different, two different approaches for what exactly is the value of the Baal HaDin leaving, you know, the Beis Din, leaving the Dion content and happy. So the first approach is that, really, like we've been saying up until now, that really the focus of the Gemara is really on the MS, and the MS in the subjective eyes of the Baal HaDin. And what's coming out, according to this first option, is that, which is a very important idea, which we're going to get back to in future topics, is that in addition to setting up for the court case, the diyun, the beis din, in a manner which achieves, you know, the objective truth. It's also important to have, you know, the structure of beis din in such a way that people, that the baal din leave with confidence in the court system and the halachic system at large. So again, according to this first approach, again similar, that the focus is MS, but MS in the eyes of the baal din, but for the purpose of both baal din and basically the nation, all the potential diunim, basically having confidence in the judicial system, and therefore perceiving the psak as emes. We're going to see, actually, in the third sugya of Kibel Alai, which is we're going to see hopefully in a couple weeks, which is, you know, the topic of where the baal din are able to basically accept, let's say edim or dam, or generally psulim, Russia or karov, where baal din are able to accept certain psulim edim and psulim dayanim as edim and as dayanim. We're going to see that this, I'm going to suggest then that this svara, this yisod of the importance of the baal din viewing the psak as emes, the fact that that plays a fundamental role in general is going to be a very important yisod for that sugya. So just keep it in the back of your minds. Again, the importance of the baal din, you know, perceiving the psak as emes. That's approach. What?
Would you call it zilus
abedina? It's a whole topic of what that means. So we're going to leave that aside. It's a big question. That's definitely one component of it. You know, the perception of beis din, for sure. Again, there's a lot to be discussed about that topic. But for sure, that component of zilus de beiduna is related to that. I think that's definitely a good point. And again, according to this first approach, you know, the Gemara's choice of emes, the word choice of emes, makes a lot of sense, because again, we're focusing on emes according to that first approach. The second approach, which is the way I originally, you know, interpreted, let's say, Rashi and the Rivan, is that really when we're talking about, you know, the people leaving happily, really the focus is not subjective MS, but really is the value of Shalom. And really what's going on is that, you know, the Gemara is saying we want to set a system whereby all the parties leave B'Shalom, everyone's happy at the end of the day. And that's exactly, when Rashi says it's tzaitzi baal dinim, that they will end up listening, seemingly, you know, listening and happy to listen and clear in Tosus's lashon of Yifrach Ratzon, right? Everyone being content, everyone leaving B'Shalom. So the big question, according to this approach, is, I think that's a simpler, but definitely a simple understanding of the Rishonim here, is that everyone leaves content and happy. If I would ask you off the street, is content, being content, doing something for Ratzon, seemingly, if I gave you an option of Shalom versus MS, that seems to go more in the direction of Shalom, at least in my eyes. But then the question that you have to ask is, if in fact, according to the second approach, the focus of the Gemara, according to these Rishonim, is the factor of Shalom, so then why does the Gemara formulate Shalom in terms of MS? And that's the question that is being posed right now. And this is going to get us to the Gemara in Ksubis, which a lot of you guys are wondering, what in the world is that doing? Even after seeing it, the connection didn't seem so clear. So this is, in this context, to explain this. So I think this is going to bring us to a very important yisod. We'll develop for a couple minutes. And that is coming out of the sugya of Kitzim Raktim Lifnei Akala, which this might be familiar to many as a song. There's really a brisa in the Gemara. We'll discuss in a moment. We're going to see what a potential yisod which emerges from that sugya is that the terminology of, or to say the terms in halacha of emes and sheker are not necessarily strictly defined as truth and falsehood as we ordinarily define those terms, but rather that this factor of shalom plays an important role, meaning that, and this works in both directions, that a strict truth, let's say, which withholds shalom, could be defined as not being MS. And the opposite direction, a falsehood, which promotes shalom, we'll see, can be defined as truth. So again, in halacha, we're going to see from that sugya, I think a very important yisod, is that MS and sheker are not, in halacha terminology, is not necessarily strict truth and falsehood, but rather that, you know, the factor of, you know, promoting shalom plays an integral role within the gather of emes.
What was the first alternative?
in term
a falsehood that promotes shalom is MS.
You know what I'm saying? The push-up shot is that, you know, MS means truth and sheker means falsehood. And whether that promotes, whether that hurts someone's feelings, that doesn't matter. The suggestion we're going to see according to some Makoros, we'll see in just a moment, is that MS and Shalom take into account, you know, the promotion, or really, you know, the prevention of Shalom. In the sense, we're saying it works in both directions, meaning a strict truth, which, you know, which withholds Shalom, will be defined as Sheker, while a falsehood, right, a lie which promotes shalom will be defined as enes. So again, hopefully when we prove this, that will then be able to plug back to our Gemara. So now if we're trying to say that according to Rashi and the Rivan, when it says Yitze Yadin La'amito, that's about promoting shalom, once you say that the promotion of shalom is within the geder of enes, so then the Gemara using the terminology of Yitze Yadin La'amito, using the lashon of enes to promote shalom, makes a lot of sense. That's the structure of what we're trying to suggest. So now just to go take a step back, go to the Gemara and Ksubis to understand where I'm coming from. So again, didn't expect anybody to guess this connection when I put it on the Mamre Kamos, but if you see it, hopefully you'll be able to better understand what I'm doing right now. But just to read the Gemara and Ksubis right now. So this is the Braisa, right? It starts on the bottom of Tazayin on the Bezin Ksubis, moving on to the top of Yudzayin Amunal. So the Gemara there says, this actually quotes a Braisa, Tanu Rabbanan, Kitzad Meraktin, Lifnei Akala, which literally means how do you dance in front of the Kala? It's a very, you know, litvish way. The Gemara really means, they're not talking about how to dance, they're talking about what are you supposed to say? And what is the proper thing to say to the Chassan about his Kala? How are you supposed to refer to the Kala to the Chassan? Oh, no, you're a dancer, so I don't want to say that.
I'm actually standing up already.
Yeah. So, that's the question posed by the bride. So what exactly is a guest at a wedding supposed to say to the chassan? So Beishamai Omrim, Kala Kimos Shehi. Which again, there's a lot of different interpretations, but basically means you're honest. Okay. You say it like it is. He's an MS, Beishamai is an MS person. You say exactly what it is. Big four or five different pratim in the Rishonim exactly what that means, but for now, you say it like it is. Beishamai.
You get what you pay for.
Okay, not going to comment. Beis Hillel Omrim, Beis Hillel argues, no. Kala na'a v'chasuda. As we know, that's the way we sing the song. By Kala na'a v'chasuda, we pass in like Beis Hillel. You lavish her with praise. So again, Beis Shammai says you basically lie and you issue the compliment no matter what. And Beis Hillel says, no, you give a compliment no matter what. So Amru lehem Beis Shammai le Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai, right, who the MS people say to Beis Hillel, how can you basically say that, everyone should, say, give these, tremendous compliments. Hare shahaisa chigeres osuma. Let's say, she's disabled or she's blind. Omrim lo kala na v'chasuda. You're going to heap all these praises. V'atora amra midvar sheker tirchak. That's a lie. And the Torah is a love against lying. Now the key is, how does Beis Hillel respond? So it doesn't seem like he's directly, addressing the question. And the question is, midvar sheker tirchak. It's a pasuk. So this is what Beis Hillel responds. Amru lehem Beis Hillel le Beis Shammai. The Divreichem, according to what you're saying, that you always tell the bitter truth, Misha Lakach Mekach Ra Minashuk, if someone makes a bad purchase in the shuk, faulty merchandise, Yishav Chenu Be'inav, or Yiganenu Be'inav, are you supposed to, after the fact, are you supposed to compliment and say, oh, great purchase, or are you supposed to be truthful? Because how can you be truthful? This is a more rhetorical question. You're going to say to be truthful in that circumstance? Does that make any sense? What's the value in that? So Habi Omer, Yishav Chenu Be'inav, of course you're supposed to give a compliment, even though it's a lie. Yikan Amru Chachamim, the Olam Tehei Daito Shel Adam U'Revis Im Abrios, basically be a nice guy, even if that means not always telling the truth. Oh, so now to analyze Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So Beis Shammai is very clear. He's an MS person. It's Varshachar Tirchak, rules the day. The fact that, it'll come at the expense of Shalom, you're going to hurt the guy's feelings, it doesn't matter. Beis Shammai says, MS all the way. So the big question that we showed him there is how to interpret Beis Hillel. Again, Beis Shammai asked a pasuk, Midvar Shefer Tircha, it's potentially lav. So how does he respond by saying, it's just not nice, it's not the nice thing to do, just look at the mashal in the case of, a person makes a bad purchase in court. Just,
I'm saying, I don't know if I understand the mashal, because it says, either you praise him or you say it's bad. Why didn't you say nothing?
I was like, Yeah. Okay. So that, assuming. Yeah, assuming that we're in a circumstance, that's a good point. I'm not getting into the details. Assuming that you're in a circumstance where you have to say something, the guy says, what do you think? Let's just assume that. Okay.
You could say no comment.
Yeah. Okay, and you'll see. Actually, some Rishonim interpret Kalakamoshi in that light. And they discuss, sometimes silence is just as bad as saying, anyways. So they're gonna get into that. Oh. Right? So basically, the question is, how do you understand Beis Hillel? How does Beis Hillel, who basically is saying, basically, the value of shalom, to translate in our terms, you know, again, that you hurt the guy's feelings, so how does that counteract the Dvar Shachar Tirchon? So there are two basic ways to understand the response. So one way is to understand that basically, Beis Hillel holds that the value of shalom trumps the value of emes. That basically, you know, Derachei Derachei Noam is Doche Midvar Shachar Tirchon. And that's the way the Ritva seems to understand. So again, Beis Shammai is an MS person. He thinks the Midvar Shachar Tirchon, that MS trumps Shalom. Beis Hillel's already, you know, what are you talking about? No, really, Shalom trumps MS. Again, according to that approach, you know, all our terms can still be literal. Everything is fine. But Maseches Kala on the spot has a very interesting explanation of Beis Hillel. As Maseches Kala, not on the spot, I shouldn't say that. Maseches Kala in Perek Tes, Mishnah Aleph, if that's what it's called. Tess, Halacha, probably, yeah. Tess Aleph. Basically, is a whole explanation of the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, and he explains as follows. This is Beis Hillel's response to Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel, what is he going to respond? He's going to say as follows. Ki ka'amar rachmana midvar shachar tirchak. When does the pasuk of midvar shachar tirchak apply? Only in cases of Mishum Vinaki Vitzadik Al Tarok. That's the end of the pasuk, which basically says, basically, don't find guilty an innocent person. Basically, only when that sheker will come to the detriment of someone. Ha l'kiyume, but in our context, where it's l'kiyume, where it's constructive, right, you're giving a compliment, you're advancing shalom, shaper dummy. There's no problem of midvar shachar tircha. Makor number one. Makor number two is the Yireim, right? The Sefer Mitzvahs of the Yireim. This is in Reish Mitzvah Reish Lamed Hey, in the context of Mitzvah Shechar Tirchak. Here's a famous, it might sound random, but since it's pretty famous in the sugya. So the Yireim in terms of Mitzvah Shechar Tirchak basically says, and he qualifies Mitzvah Shechar Tirchak, and says the only time the lav of lying applies is only when it causes harm to other people. His lashon is. Basically, a sheker which doesn't cause any harm to other people, like in our case, where it advances shalom, if anything, it's positive, it's constructive. Lo his hira Torah olam. That's not included in the lav of Midbar Shachar Tirchak. So both Maseches Kala's explanation of Beis Hillel and the Yireim's Geder Midbar Shachar Tirchak, which seemingly is coming off of Beis Hillel, I'll recall him, you know, explicitly referencing Beis Hillel, but that's what it seems like it's coming off of. Both are saying that the lav, that the din of Midvar Shachar Tirchak, the isser of lying, doesn't apply when that lie is constructive. Let's say advances shalom.
Where's
the Urayim? The Urayim is in Mitzvah Reish Lamed He. It's the Sefer Mitzvah. The Urayim is the Sefer Mitzvah. So then there are two different ways to explain these two different shittos. Why would Midvar Shachar Tirchak not apply when, let's say, in our terminology, when it advances shalom? So one way to explain it is just that really sheker as a term really means falsehood. That's what it means. So really, even a sheker which is even advancing shalom is still defined as a sheker, but it's just that these are qualifications to the lav. The lav in the Torah, Mitzvah Shachar Tirchak, is limited to the circumstances where you're causing harm. That's the first interpretation. So again, according to that, sheker means falsehood. That's it. The other way to interpret this is which I thought at the time when I was doing this. Again, I later heard this from my father-in-law as well. Is that the reason why midvar sheker tirchak? That the reason why the lav doesn't apply in cases where that sheker advances shalom is because those cases are not defined as sheker. Right, a sheker which advances shalom has the din of emes. So again, according to this, we have a redefinition of the geder. That's repetitive. We have a redefinition of sheker. And the way my father-in-law said it, and I think it's a good way to say it, is that MS doesn't mean truth, but rather MS in the Torah's, you know, vocabulary and dinim really refers to integrity and wholesomeness. Right? And therefore, if what you're saying is strictly false, but it's advancing a cause and it's advancing shalom, that is still within the geder of MS as defined by integrity and wholesomeness. Just to finish one thing. And with this, something worked out very nicely. He said, this also explains a Maimar Chazal. Right? A Maimar Chazal refers to, Chazal generally refer to Yaakov as an Ish Emes. Despite the fact that we know that Yaakov, you know, committed one of the, you know, the biggest lies in history. Right? He pretended to be Esav. So why would Chazal, you know, of all the Avos, you know, term, basically characterize Yaakov as the Ish Emes, when he's the one who made, you know, had the most blatant lie to his father? But again, if you interpret Emes as wholesomeness and integrity, and you understand the reason why Yaakov was doing that was because his mother had, who was a Nevi'ah, basically convinced him that although this is against your personality, but this is the right thing to do, this is wholesomeness, this is integrity, then you understand why Chazal would refer to Yaakov, despite his lie, as an Ish Emes, because even that lie fit within the geder of Emes. And one last niche is that it also works with this geder of Emes really being wholesomeness, is that it's also ironic, not ironic, perfect, that the Torah refers to Yaakov as an Ish Tam. So Chazal referred to, the Torah refers to him as an Ish Tam, which Tam is referred to wholesomeness. And then Chazal basically redefine or translate that as Ish Emes. So again, you have this idea of Emes and really being more wholesomeness and integrity instead of strict truth. And again, just go back to our sugya, that would be the suggestion, this is my connection, as to why, again, even if the value within, say, the first day of Rivan and Rashi is this value of Shalom, why it would be appropriate for the Gemara to characterize it as advancing MS, because again, Shalom is integral to MS. Fine. Any questions?
I just wanted to point out that, like, even though a lie for peace, like, seems to be allowed, it's still, so you can't take it too far, where then you can't lie for a deen, right? We say that's like a chosayadak, we think that. Even though Bechola, you could say that this whole Gemara about peace trumping truth, right, could point to the fact that maybe Mechasaridah are right, that, you know, the dining could just do whatever they want because it's for peace, right?
Well, it's not really peace, maybe. Why would that be peace?
That's the whole point. The whole point of the Parish of the Alma and the Parish of Tosso is saying that the reason that they didn't do it is that there's peace, like, there's one guy for him, right, and they're trying as much as they can. He goes happy with the deen, right, and, like, they're each... each of them happy because they each had someone like trying as hard as they could for it, right?
Yeah, but the problem is that when someone is, when you're having a debate and one person is, you know, is lying, is making, as we know in debates, right? You can, a good debater can win, a debate with a false, false set of, or with a false argument. So at the end of the day, I don't think it's, it's not going to be advancing anything to have people making untruthful claims. What we're saying in terms of shalom is, I'm saying a case where you, again, in this context, is, also remember, for a deen, of course, it's very important to also have emes here, like real emes, objective emes. So again, we're just pointing out is that the added value of, in addition to having, the most accurate psak, to also having shalom, how all those values of objective emes and advancing shalom are all contained within the phrase of MS and the Gemara. But again, I don't see really advancing any shalom per se from having someone, just argue untruthfully. Right. Fine. Yeah?
Why was
Yaakov
being called an Ishtam? What was the right
definition?
Is that it? What was the connection to that?
Oh, I thought you were asking a prior question. Should be fine. But, just the idea is that if we're defining MS as like wholesomeness, so a tam, one definition of tam, is wholesome, right? Ish tam yoshev ohalim. So again, the fact that Chazal are defining, when the Torah defines him as an ish tam, the Chazal are referring to him as an ish MS, now that we're saying that MS and tam are really the same thing, it works out very nicely. Yeah?
For shalom,
The Gemara in Yavamos, meaning that's Mutal Lashanos and Nedar Kejalam, quotes that Gemara. Yeah, so again, the big question there is, again, is that at the, you know, the expense of MS? That's really the whole question. Is that the expense of MS, or is really, you know, in certain contexts, that really is an advancement of MS? Yeah, why that would be the case? And you're saying, once you define...
I see there are like two scenarios where it makes sense to translate MS
now. I'm saying these are really trying to bring rayos, meaning the Masechas Kala and Yireyim are potential rayos, that meaning that's the way the halakhic system defines Midvar Shachar Tircha. When the Torah says Midvar Shachar, meaning, you know, stray, you know, stay away from Sheker, what that really means is stay away, you know, from, you know, falsehood, which doesn't promote, which, you know, withholds, prevents peace. Again, a falsehood which will promote shalom is not there. So that's a proof that this is the geder. At least one interpretation of those makoros is that because the geder of sheker is not just falsehood, but again, shalom is taken into account.
You want to plug in this whole idea to explain Rashi according to the Chasiri Das?
No,
that
I was.
That explains him to be that they're doing Givas Adin, really?
No, I was not trying to say that. Hey, you suggesting, or are you asking whether I was saying it?
Oh.
I think that was, but yeah, that's what Yaakov was trying to say. I was not trying to say that. I mean, I'm trying to say why, again, just aside, to be very important, meaning, again, this idea of, you know, Sheker, which advances Shalom, it has to be used very carefully. It doesn't mean to say, I mean, again, when you have, like, you know, in Yaakov's case, for example, when, like, you know, Nevi'ah is telling you this is the way to do, so you do. It's, you know, it can be easily corruptible. I mean, corrupted. You need to be very careful when, and to have, you know, be very careful. You have to ask a lot of shilohs about this stuff. So, like, for example, just, I am answering your question, although it might seem like I'm not. The answer is that in the context of a din, right? When you're, you know, trying to adjudicate a din, it's clear that objective truth is very, very important, and that always needs to be done. So, at the end of the day, that meaning anything within the court system which is going to be against truth, in this context, is going to be a problem. One point to add is that if you could, in addition to getting objective truth, you're also getting shalom. Once you have this yisod, it would make sense to put both of those values, both objective truth and shalom, all within the category of MS because of this connection. But I'm not saying that, oh, because of this idea, therefore you can have falsehood within the court case. Within the court case, everything has to be objective truth. We're just saying that when, according to Rashi in the first day in Tosos, in addition, very important, in addition to objective truth, we have the value of shalom, the fact that we basically encapsulate both those values of objective truth and shalom by the term emes, is based on this broader idea that shalom plays a role in emes.
Exactly. And what do you mean by objective truth?
Meaning in terms of it, getting the accurate bottom line psak. Meaning, I don't think no one except the Chaserei Das, well, you know, of stature, no one of stature is holding that, you know, the Dayanim are ever allowed to, like, you know, argue a point, you know, that which is not alluded to Emes. Again, both because there's no value of Shalom in this context, and also in the context of, you know, the basis is the Isra Matan Mishpat, you can't, you know, can't pervert justice. And that's why no real Shittos are accepted.
Maybe a way to see this idea of Shalom even through, like, lies, and then the Sugya in, like, the Bashi, which always says that the Balei didn't think that the Devanim are being Mehabech, even with lies, even though that's not what they're really doing, because that can be seen, like, Rashid is lying to them, right? As in, like, they're not that. That's what they think is happening, and that's not what's happening. And even though this is, like, can be seen as a lie, right? It's a lie that promotes Shalom, because
very good. Very interesting. Another twist. Very good. Very good. Oh, it's okay. The last thing in the last couple of minutes that we're going to discuss is an issue that, right, if, as we've been discussing, a lot of guys discussed this with me in Seder, is that, right, as we just read before, Buddha, you know, corrected himself, and he read the line, right, the Maskana, when it's Ela Hachikam, right, Zebor lo Dayanechad, Zebor lo Dayanechad, right, contrast to the question, right? Remember, the question was, what do you mean? Because the problem with the first interpretation of the Gemara was that it sounded like it was very much B'diyevet. And that B'diyevet, right? No, right, it's B'diyevet situation where he knocks his choice off, the other guy knocks the other guy's choice off. That was the basis of the first suggestion of the Gemara. The Gemara then asks, what do you mean? The Lashon of the Gemara sounds very much L'chatzchila. The Gemara comes on in the Maskana, oh, therefore, on the basis of that question, we have this new din. And the focus of the Mishnah is not on the Beis Din, but rather on the Dayan. So again, seems to be the major issue, at least part of the sugi, is whether this process of Zavla in the Mishnah is L'chatzchila or B'diyan. So you're going to see that this actually is an issue in the Tur. The Tur, surprisingly, Paskins, and this whole process of Zavla, of Zebar Loach, of Zebar Loach, even the Maskana's version of picking the Dayanim, is all B'diyanet. He says, what's the L'chatzchila? The L'chatzchila is that, is if everybody, if both Balei Dinim could agree on all three Dayanim. So that's really the L'chatzchila, and this process of Zavla, of Zebar Loach, Zebar Loach, is really only B'diyanet. That's what the Torah claims. And again, his Svara seems to be that the aforementioned values of objective emes, subjective emes, and shalom, according to the Tur, are even better advanced if all three dayanim are chosen by both dayanim, by both balei din together. That's the Tur's svar. Right, in contrast to saying that no, it's actually dafka better when one is picked by one, the other is picked by the other, and then you have a third in between. That's his, which is in Svara, here. I think that's arguable. We'll get to that in a moment. But that's what the Torah is assuming, that again, there's a better advancement of the values of Shalom and Emes if all three Dayanim are picked by both Balei Din, and therefore this whole process in the Mishnah is all by the end. But I was very bothered by the Torah, is because, as I sort of, you know, introduced this section by, is that the Shach Levataria seems very clear that the whole, you know, benefit of the Maskana is that you get a pshat which allows it to be L'chatzchila. You don't have to, it doesn't have to be Kisha Zeborer, Kisha Zebor, Zeborerecha, Zeborerecha. It's rather, no, Zeborerecha, Zeborerecha. So I thought the Tur would seem to have to go with that, the other girsa of Kisha Zeb, but the problem is that it doesn't seem to work out well with the Shach Levataria, which again seems very much focus on rejecting the first pshat because that sounded b'di'evet and we want to give a l'chatzchila pshat. So again, so I thought that the Torah's interpretation of Zavla being b'di'evet was, I think it was very difficult with the, not only our girsa of the Gemara, but the reason for our girsa of the Gemara is that, that seems to be the best flow of the Shach Levataria. So I thought really the pashas, again, not well, luckily the Torah, but I thought, I mean, from reading the Shach Levataria, I feel like a better read of the Gemara is that the whole point of the Maskana, Zeh Baruch Lo Echa, is that this process is really L'chatzchila. And you have to say it in Svara that it could be that it's actually, you know, you advance the causes of Emes and Shalom even better when you have one person dedicated to, again, exploring the options, right? Not be Mata Mishpat, right? One guy dedicated to exploring the options of one side. The other guy being, being focused on exploring the options of the other side. And then you have a middle guy, and then all three guys coming together to try to decide which one is right. So to me, I thought that was the simpler understanding of the read of the Gemara, which therefore dictated the process of Zavla, of, you know, picking the Dayanim through Zebar Lo Echad, would really be L'chatzchila, and then you'd have to say that, you know, Misvara, instead of the Tur's idea that really, you know, these values are best served when all three are chosen by both Balei Dinim, you'd have to say, according to this read, that really, perhaps, you know, those values are really best advanced when you have this setup of 1-1 and then a third. I guess we'll stop here, and then next time we'll pick up with new sheets, go on to the next video of the Psul Nogeya of Ages. So we'll get the details of that next.